Welcome to The Self-Set. On this podcast, we're cutting the shame out of traditional self-help advice. We're adding more self-compassion to self-improvement. Get ready to hear some unique perspectives and psychology strategies to help you embrace who you are right now as you become who you want to be. Let's get started. I think a lot of us hear advice about being mindful, being present, and that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel your emotions. But how do we do it? You know, especially when we're facing very uncomfortable emotions, when we're facing stress and anxiety or even anger, how do we be present with those feelings and cope with them in a healthy way? I am so excited to let you in on a recent conversation I had with Jackie Acree. Jackie is an EFT tapping practitioner and self-compassion advocate. During this conversation, Jackie shared a ton of very practical strategies to help us be present, be mindful, and to help us know how to deal with our emotions instead of bottling them up. I took the best bits from this conversation and put them together in this episode. Without further ado, let's get into it. Jackie, as an EFT practitioner, you've helped a ton of people really deal with their emotions using this particular technique. Could you give us a simple breakdown of what EFT tapping is for those of us who aren't familiar with it?
EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, but it is more commonly known as EFT or even tapping, because emotional freedom techniques is a little bit of a mouthful, let's be honest. So it's called tapping because we literally tap on acupoints along the body. So for example, right underneath the nose in that little divot, that's a point there. And we tap on the body while we're talking about thoughts, feelings, limiting beliefs, like what's really going on for us and how we want to feel. So it's a blend of acupressure and psychology is essentially what it is. And the reason it works so well is because it is working with both the body and the mind to process what's going on for us, to release emotional energy. And what you'll notice as you tap is you'll notice this calming experience come over your body and your mind. And a decade-long study done by Harvard showed that when we tap on these acupoints, we're literally sending a nearly instantaneous calming signal to that amygdala, that, you know, fight or flight center of our brain. So instantaneously, we're sending that signal, which helps to calm everything down, bring emotions that are causing us distress, you know, up and out of the body, which kind of sounds weird, but often we're so in the limbic system, we're so in our emotional brain, and the brain develops from the bottom up. So there's like the primal, survival, reptilian brain, and then the limbic system, which is more emotional. And then the frontal lobe develops. And the problem is that most of us as adults want to be living from our frontal lobe, right? So as a 44-year-old woman, there are things that I know are okay, like let's say setting and respecting boundaries. Like I hear from so many people that they struggle with boundaries. Well, as a 44-year-old woman, I understand that it's okay to say no, let's say. But sometimes we're with our families and we go right back to roles that we learned when we were young. And so we act more out of an emotional part of our brain. So if you're listening to this, go ahead and think for yourself, like, where's a place, what's a time in my life? What happens in my day? Like, where do I act more? I'm like emotionally reactive. And if we're really honest with ourselves, kind of emotionally immature, like I say, it's kind of like when I act like my 5 or 6 year old self, but I'm 44. So I know that something's going on there. And that's what emotional freedom techniques helps us to do, is to bring regulation, that emotional reaction, and then help us access that more mature, developed, rational perspective giving part of our brains that's also part of who we are. But when we're feeling really emotional, we don't have access to it. So that's what it's that's in a nutshell, in the kindergarten version of life, that's how tapping works.
That's such a good beginner's guide to tapping. I'd love to know, what got you into EFT?
I was somebody who was looking for ways to, I used to say, like, be my best self. Like, I wanted to be my best self, or live your best life, right? Be the best you now. We've all heard that stuff. And I definitely, like, I drank that Kool-Aid for quite a long time. Now I actually like to talk about being our favorite version of ourselves. So what I was looking for, though, was really intentional change, right? There were some things about myself that I was like, okay, if I could learn how to stop reacting in this way, or if I could learn how to, maybe I hear this all the time. For me, perfectionism, inner critic, that was something I wanted to change. A lot of people talk about people pleasing, boundaries. What else comes up for people? All sorts of things, you know, yelling at our kids, or if we're entrepreneurs, I hear all the time about people feeling like they, you know, they're stuck in their business and they don't know why and they don't know what to do about it. Money comes up all the time, like feeling like I've hit this ceiling and I don't know how to change it. So I was looking for help with that. And I have a Bachelor of Arts in counseling. And one of the things that I've never loved about counseling, now I go to my own therapist once in a while and I absolutely love her. So when you find the right fit, it can be a really supportive relationship. But for me professionally, the reason I didn't want to pursue that in a professional way is a lot of the time I find for myself, now this is my own Jackie personal opinion. So if this is not true for someone else, then I really am so happy for them, because it's not what we want. But I often found that in a counseling type relationship, we are rehashing the same old things again and again, but we're not really experiencing change. We're just kind of telling the same story. And we're trying so hard, but we're, you know, so in the counselor's office, things can make sense and I might be like feeling better. And then I would leave and, you know, you just don't really change. Most of it's the same. Or if you do change, it's like incremental, tiny, tiny bits, like, you know, 2 steps forward and 1.75 steps back. So for me, I was looking for support for myself that would actually help me to create some intentional change. And that's how I discovered EFT tapping. Now, the funny thing is, like I said, going back to my education days, like when I was getting my degree, I had forgotten that that's what I was looking for when I got my degree professionally. I was looking for a tool that would help people to actually create real intentional and lasting change in their lives. So when I found EFT for myself, personally, and I started using it and seeing the difference that it made for me, then I, of course, as an Enneagram 8, got very obsessed with the whole thing. And I'm so passionate about it. I use it to help my clients with their self-compassion practice, because here is the thing. And Laura, I know you'll totally be on board with this 100%. If being hard on ourselves worked, it would have worked by now, right? So, and I don't care what age we're at, it doesn't matter, because that is the truth. If being hard on ourselves worked, it would have worked by now. So EFT tapping, I use it to help people to really practice self-compassion in a transformational way, releasing that inner critic and all of our attachment to perfectionism and the old stories that we believe about ourselves that just aren't true. And emotional agility. So teaching the skills of really shifting our emotions, being attuned to our emotions, using our emotions as information about what's going on for us and not directives. Susan David is a master of emotional agility. And I love how she says, like, emotions are data, but not directives. So too often we just act out of our emotional state. And we react, but they're not directives. Our emotions are information. They're data. They're really helpful. When you're paying attention to them, they have a lot to say. So that's another thing that I use EFT tapping for. And then the third thing, and maybe it's not my favorite. Sometimes I think this is my favorite, but then I think that about all three of those things. But I really hear from people all the time, and I personally relate to this. We're stressed. We are so stressed. And at its heart, tapping is a stress relief, a stress management. I call it stress resilience. It's a stress resilience tool. And I am all for anything that's going to help me and help other people feel better faster.
Speaking of stress, could you share some strategies for those of us who are dealing with stress and anxiety on how we can deal with those feelings?
Anxiety is something I'm very familiar with. I have felt anxious my whole life. And notice that I say I have felt anxious. I used to say I am anxious, but it's even that tiny little space we create when we use intentional language to talk about our feelings and how we feel, but it's not who we are. That being said, anxiety as a feeling and an experience was something that was very familiar to me for a long time. And my nervous system was really like at that anxiety set point. And so one of the things that I learned was that when we use our senses and we ground ourselves in our bodies, we really start to calm that anxious stress response. If it's not anxiety for you, maybe it's overwhelm, an emotion I hear people refer to all the time in my practice with my clients. People talk about feeling stressed all the time, which really is not an emotion per se, but we have this like umbrella of, we call it stress. Well, what do we really mean? Often, like I said, overwhelmed, or could be feeling really anxious, feeling all of the uncertainty, this untethered feeling a lot of us are experiencing right now with the state of the world. And so when you're feeling that way, a way to bring a sense of calm and safety into the body is to use your five senses. So literally, and even right now, if you're feeling this way, as long as you're not driving, if you're driving, only look straight ahead or maybe a little to the side. But if you're listening to this and you're able to safely do so, like look around the room that you're in and notice the space around you. Intentionally look behind you. You know, as humans, we are, our primary sense that we really rely on for safety is often sight. Innately, we look. I notice this with my dog all the time. When we're on hikes, I'm looking. And she's not, she's smelling. And so she's listening. Her nose and her ears are so much more finely attuned to her environment. And I always watch with my eyes, I watch her, and she lets me know if there's something to be aware of before I notice it at all. So as humans, we use this sense of sight to create safety for ourselves. You know, you know exactly how it feels when somebody comes and sneaks up behind you and scares you. You didn't know they were there, right? So to create safety for yourself, even intentionally look behind you. And as you're doing so, just notice in this space that you're in, and you can even say in your own mind or even out loud, like, I am safe. Everything's okay. Look around. Maybe if you want to really cue yourself, you could say, I'm going to notice five things that are green. Look around your space, find five things that are green. If you want to really level it up, you can also, you may have seen this in social media. I've seen this actually floating around a few times lately. But a therapist of mine taught me this literally years and years ago. So this is not a new thing, but it's a 5-4-3-2-1 practice. So you find five things that you can see, four things that you can hear, three things that you can feel. And by feeling, I'm not talking about emotions, I'm talking the physical sensation. So an example is, I wear glasses and I can't consciously feel them. Like, I'm so used to them. But if I think about it for a moment and feel into my body, oh, there they are. I can feel my glasses. Okay. So three things you can feel, two things that you can smell, which is tricky for us as humans, but it's okay. You don't have to sit there and force like, what do I smell? What do I smell? You can actually, again, like, invite it into the body by maybe you're wearing a sweater and you want to breathe in where the sweater lands at your wrist. Maybe there's a bit of scent of lotion there, or maybe you want to smell your coffee, or I have a dog I love to hug. So I might smell, like, bury my face in her neck and smell her for a moment. My dog smells really good, so that one works for me. And then the last sense that you want to look for is one thing that you can taste. That one is really tricky. But again, invite it in by, if you can't just sit there and feel something in your mouth, like come up with a taste, it's okay. Take a sip of something and see what flavors are on your tongue. So that grounding practice is so incredibly powerful for bringing you into the moment and really starting to regulate that nervous system, bringing you out of fight or flight response and just into this present moment.
Man, I love how you just broke that down into such practical steps. One thing you've touched on here, and I've also seen you talk about it on your Instagram, is just how difficult it can be for a lot of us to experience our emotions. A lot of us are used to bottling it up or avoiding how we feel. I think some of us even fall into that self-help trap around just stay positive, you know, good vibes only, just tell yourself you're fine. And yeah, that you just have to get over how you feel. What is your take on that? And what advice would you give to people who tend to fall into that?
Oh, I used to be so afraid of being honest about how I really felt. So in the self-help world, we are, again, I'm going to go with mainstream self-help because of course there's always a spectrum, right? But mainstream self-help's message is high vibes only. I love how you said that. Good vibes only. And it's really about these positive thoughts that we're supposed to really like white knuckle. And so I was really afraid that if I admitted some of the negative thoughts or feelings that I was having, I was afraid that that would like attract more of that to me. Like saying it out loud somehow made it more real or magnetic, right? And so it would amplify that. So don't say any of it out loud. And the truth is what happens is we are actually storing it. Like it has to come up and out somewhere. I was just denying it. It wasn't healthy at all. I was also afraid of the intensity of some of my emotions. So I was not taught as a child that emotions are safe. They're just information, and that experiencing all of them is part of a healthy human experience. And so, like I said, I had anxiety. It was something I experienced a lot of, and it was so intense that it really scared me. Or for me, anger is very familiar emotion. And when I felt intensely angry, it really scared me, or sad or disappointed. All of those emotions, I just didn't know what to do with them. And so, I mean, we all say that we want lots of happiness and peace and calm and joy and excitement, but you can't numb selectively. So you can't numb the anxiety, the anger, the resentment, the disappointment. You can't numb that without also numbing even the love that we have for one another. I've seen this little quote floating around on social media. I saw it a while ago, like quite a while ago, but it just struck me as so true. So I did not coin this phrase, and I wish I could give credit to who I read it from, but it was one of those things, you know, you're scrolling and it just popped out at me. And this person said that most of us are practicing emotional avoidance and calling it a positive mindset. It just rang so true to me. Being human includes all of the emotions, and in and of themselves, they're all okay. I don't enjoy them all, but they're all safe to experience. They're part of the human experience. And really, it's knowing how to feel them and let them pass without needing to react to them. I mean, obviously how we act is not always okay. So if you're feeling really angry and you're yelling at someone, that behavior isn't acceptable, but the anger itself has something to say. It's often pointing to a value or maybe a memory. Like there's something in that anger that's important to listen to and pay attention to. But often what we're doing is we're either shoving it down, we are binging, you know, Netflix, food, alcohol, or we're trying to, I used to do this a lot. I would try to like diffuse it by like putting it out at someone else, like trying to get rid of it almost. And we're just ignoring the truth of how we feel. And it's okay to sit with it for a minute. And you know, emotions pass really, really quickly if we actually pay attention to them. If we don't pay attention to them, they keep coming back. They're like, you're not listening to me. I have something to say to you. And that is when it becomes more of a problem for us.
Ooh, what a great conversation. Huge thank you to Jackie for joining us on the Self-Set podcast today. I absolutely love all the practical strategies she shared to really help us deal with our emotions. Did you catch them all? Don't worry, I'm going to include timestamps in the show notes so you can go back to each of those strategies she mentioned. And you know I like to end each episode of the Self-Set podcast with a self-reflection question. This week's question is from Jackie herself. She said the next time you experience an uncomfortable emotion, whether that's stress or anxiety or anger, ask yourself this.
What do I need right now? I think that's a really important question to ask. What does this have to say to me? What is this emotion trying to tell me? And what do I need right now?
That's it for this week's episode of The Self-Set. If you're interested in learning more about EFT, Jackie is currently offering a free 10-minute tapping session designed to help you start your day calm, clear, and grounded. Be sure to click the link in the show notes to learn more. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon.